97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk. And we are joined by EJ Antoni, Heritage Foundation Chief Economist. Hey, EJ, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Yourself?
Hey, can't complain. And good news on the economy today. You know, you look at the Times, you look at CNN, and they're finding reasons to complain. But tell us the good news that we learned this morning.
Well, I would say they're trying to find reasons to complain, but they're going to come up empty-handed because we got some really, really good data today. You know, the GDP, or what we call gross domestic product, it's a way to try to measure just general economic activity across the whole country. And we got a great number. It was up 3% from the previous quarter. Again, really good number. If we look at the internals of the report, where is the economy actually growing? Unlike during the 4 years of Biden, where it was just month after month, quarter after quarter, and year after year of government hiring more workers and spending more money, we're seeing exactly the opposite right now. For the first 6 months of this year, government spending actually didn't increase at all. Government purchases were flat from the last quarter of last year until the second quarter of this year. So again, 6 months, no growth in government, phenomenal news. All of the increase we have had in economic activity this year has been from the productive private sector. That's fabulous. A complete turnaround from the previous 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that seems to be the Democrats, that's their idea of a good economy, is creating more government jobs for their friends, their buddies, and their buddies' families. I see it here firsthand in New York State. And I mean, like you said, we saw at the federal level, they think that if they can just create more government jobs and make more and more people dependent on the government, that that's good for the economy.
Exactly. And sure enough, like I said, we're seeing exactly the opposite of that right now. And it's not just today's GDP report. It's even been in the monthly job reports. And by the way, we're going to get the next one on Friday. That'll give us the month of July, those figures. And what I'm sure it's going to show is exactly what we saw for the first 6 months of the year, which was every month this year, the number of federal bureaucrats has actually declined. That's fabulous news. So again, you're seeing a reprivatization of the economy. You're not seeing simply money being wasted on the unproductive public sector, but instead you're seeing investment in the productive private sector. All of the net job growth this year, think of that, all of the net job growth is full-time jobs, it's non-government jobs, and it's Americans who are getting the jobs, not just just foreign-born workers who are flooding into the country.
And by the way, EJ is the chief economist. I'm sorry, I screwed up that. I don't know what I was thinking when we got back from break. EJ, you know, you look at these tariffs, and it seems now as the deadline's approaching, more and more deals are being made in what I view to be in America's favor. How do you view these tariffs? Are they good? Are they bad? And how will they play out?
Well, certainly the deals that we're getting are in America's favor. And you can call them deals, you can call them agreements, frameworks, whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, the fact remains that President Trump is managing to negotiate a much better international trading system for the American people. Look at what's happened with the most recent one in the European Union. We are going to have unprecedented access. That's no exaggeration. Unprecedented access to European consumer markets that will increase the demand for American exports and increase the demand for the American labor that produces those exports, whether it's food, whether it's cars, whether it's industrial products, consumer goods, you name it. And at the end of the day, that means not only more Americans employed, but it means faster wage growth for the Americans employed in those industries. And this is all possible because President Trump understands how to wield the American consumer's purchasing power like a weapon in these negotiations. That's what's going on with these tariffs. He's basically saying to these other nations, or in the case of the EU, a group of nations, if you're not going to give us the same courtesy that we give you, then guess what? We're not playing ball anymore. And there's good reason for that. You know, this is a what President Trump has done here with the EU is nothing short of overturn an 80-year precedent. Ever since the end of World War II, we have allowed Europe to restrict our access to their consumer markets in order to help those countries rebuild after that devastating conflict. Well, guess what? That was 80 years ago. They don't need help anymore. If they can't stand on their own 2 feet after nearly a century, then maybe they don't deserve to stand at all as developed economies.
You know, EJ, you know, I look at this, and as you say, I mean, these deals, these agreements, they help the American worker, the American worker that wants to get out there and wants to work. Why did it take Donald Trump to get to this point that we're not being owned by some of these other countries worldwide?
That's a very, very good question. Maybe because it took a billionaire to do it. I mean, ironically, the guy who is the most independently wealthy president maybe that we've ever had after you adjust for things like inflation is the one who's most connected with the needs and the concerns of the average American, of the blue collar worker, right? Of the typical or the average Joe. He is not beholden to special interest. He is, unlike virtually all of the presidents that came before him, he is not beholden to a particular campaign contributor, right? And this is Republican and Democrat, by the way. It was true for George W. Bush. It was true for Clinton. It was true for Obama, for Biden, for George H.W. Bush. I mean, you name it, all of those guys, they had their special interest groups that they always had to kowtow to, and that included a lot of international special interests, and that meant that their view on international trade was always going to be compromised and not necessarily going to be in America's best interest. And sure enough, that's what we got. For basically every decade, really, since the mid-80s, we have seen presidents not put America first. It has been America last more often than not.
EJ, Senator Josh Hawley from this great state of Missouri wants to see tariff rebate checks of around $600 for the American people to capitalize personally on the success of the tariffs. What do you think of his plan, and do you think we'll actually see these checks?
Well, I think the senator's heart is in the right place, but if I can be blunt, it's a really stupid idea. The government doesn't have any more money. I don't know where these different people, and it's not just the senator. It's tons of people in government, right? It's most of the folks in the Senate and the House, and it's across both parties. The federal government doesn't have any more money. We are $37 trillion in debt, for crying out loud. We're paying $1.2 trillion a year just in interest on that debt. We don't have any more money. If you're wondering why are we in a cost of living crisis? Why did we have the worst inflation in 40 years? Why did we have the fastest interest rate hikes in 40 years? It all came down to the government spending too much money and the manipulations of our monetary system that had to happen to accommodate that runaway spending. If the government has any extra revenue right now, they should be using it to reduce the deficit. And then once you get rid of the deficit, once you balance the budget, you use any excess revenue to pay down the debt. That has to be the priority, because if you don't do that, if you keep piling on new spending like this idea of giving out checks, then guess what? You're only making the problem worse. And the very thing that you're trying to alleviate, which is the American people's financial pain, you're going to, again, end up making that situation worse, not better.
Yeah, you talk about the money brought in by the tariffs, but you're in so much debt, the national debt. It's like it's as if you overdrew your bank account and then you get your paycheck. Well, you don't see any money. It makes up for the money that you overdrew your bank account.
Right. Well, imagine if your household is deeply in debt. You have, let's say, I mean, an astronomical amount of credit card debt. You've managed to rack up like $80,000, $90,000, or even $100,000 in credit card debt. You are drowning. You can't even afford the minimum payments each month. And so you're taking out new credit cards and doing cash advances in order to pay the bills coming in from the old credit cards. That's the situation the federal government is in. Okay. Now imagine you take on an extra job, you get a part-time gig on the weekends, and you're bringing in a little extra money, and you sit down with your spouse and you say, you know what? why don't we take this extra money and go on a little vacation? Or why don't we have like a really nice fancy dinner at a steakhouse? Are you kidding me? You are drowning in debt. You don't have money for that. You need to be paying down debt. You need to be getting your financial house in order. It is not the time for more spending. And so, again, I understand, you know, with the senator, I understand the senator has good intentions here, but that doesn't mean his policy will have good effects.
Yeah, you know, and there's a lot I agree with Josh Hawley on in the Senate, but and he was, you know, one of the lone Republicans to call for a federal an increase of the federal minimum wage. And like you said, I think his heart's in a good place on both these things. But in the long run, I don't think it's what's great, what's best for the economy. How about you? What do you think about that minimum wage hike?
No, I think you're spot on there. And if you look at the states that have the higher minimum wage rates, sure enough, they're the ones with worse labor market figures, whether it's overall jobs numbers or jobs numbers specifically in low wage positions or unemployment rates, including teenage unemployment rates. The data are very clear that this is what happens if you price certain people out of the labor market. And that's what you do with a high minimum wage. You tell an employer it is illegal for you to pay a low-skilled worker unless you're willing to pay them charity. That's a ridiculous position to be in. It doesn't help people. Instead, it causes more unemployment. And part of the reason why the state of Missouri has done better than a lot of other states the last 4 or 5 years in terms of its labor market is the fact that it doesn't have one of those onerously high minimum wages. It's not up there with like New York or Illinois or California or some of these other places. And if you want to export the ridiculous economic policies of those far left-wing areas to the broader country, then you will export the economic effects that go along with them. And again, that's nothing good.
EJ, great stuff. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.